known you, known the good things about you, still some mysteries about you, and some of the challenges that you've all have gone through. But despite all that, I think it's necessary to say that, again, we all wouldn't be here if it hasn't been for God's good grace. And we know without a doubt, because we have the evidence. We have the evidence of how God has answered prayer for our brothers and sisters. And we say yes. We say amen and hallelujah for that kind consideration, for that blessing. But today, something that I wanted to share with you, I've asked God's guidance in searching His Word for what I feel needs to be discussed or brought to light. The question I'm asking or proposing to you, whom are you afraid of? Whom are you afraid of? But before we start, we all need to understand who has the authority in bringing the word. It's not me. I'm just a messenger. I go to the word, God's word, for what He would have us to understand. And yes, understanding is but one part of it. The doing, the executing, is our responsibility. Example. I know that we have a young lady out here. And so no doubt that eventually, sometime in her life, mom is going to teach her how to bake a strawberry cake. Now, mom's got probably an old recipe. And she's going to show it to her. And she's going to be there to guide her. She can read that recipe. But if she doesn't get busy in doing it, that strawberry cake is never going to happen. Same with our lives, in much the same way. The same with our Christian walk. We may have the good book. We may have the instructions. We may read it. And Lord willing, you may even comprehend what it's saying. But in doing that, hopefully, you will do that, what is written. That's why in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it states, and it's worth repeating so that we all get to the understanding of where we need to be, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Of course, we also understand that the Scriptures is saying every man and woman, all of us, every one of us, is equipped for what? For every good work. Nobody's excluded. No one does nothing. No one. Every good work. And that's why Scripture needs to be read, reread, and not rewritten. I saw a marquee not too long ago where you go to different towns and you see their little signs out there in front of the church building, and they got some kind of cute little saying or something, or maybe even they would use actual Scripture. But in this particular case, the sign said, there is one thing that is not in the Bible, and it's left out. And of course, that got everyone's interest piqued. What is that one thing that's left out? And on the marquee it says, your opinion. My opinion. And that's very true. God knows what He's writing. He knows what He's saying. He meant it the first time. He's not going to do it over. It is the book of life. And it's what Christians should do, is wanting to read that book of life. As many have said before, this is love letters to us, in a sense. Love letters to us, every one of us. And is there for our benefit to know God loves you, cares for you, wants you. But again, we must do what we need to do. And again, if it's been more than a day since you had your last scripture reading, it's been too long. Nothing will do you more good than what is in the good book. Again, since we last gathered together, I know it's been a while, but the question still needs to be asked for my fellow brothers and sisters. How is your prayer life? Is this something that you are doing consistently, meaningfully? Are you praying for the Lord's church and for each other? Are you consciously doing that, making time? We need to do that for each other, and we need to be reminded that that is relevant. It's important. Hopefully your prayer life has been more substantial. And hopefully, Lord willing, your prayer life is more mature now than when we first started the year. Another aspect of that we find in Scripture when we read this is that people have a fear. And so the question is, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? It's been said, I don't know how many of you understand the relevance of the Medal of Honor. The Medal of Honor has been given to men or women who have demonstrated extreme courage and bravery under terrible conditions and situations. But they overcame. They overcame. And it's been asked, so what do you have when you have 12 Medal of Honor recipients in the same room? What you have are the men with the sum of all their fears. They're men. They're men just like you and I. They're humans. They have fears. But what made the difference is the fear did not control them. They overcame their fears and demonstrated bravery and courage under extreme conditions. That's the difference. It's like our Christ and our Lord. When he went to the cross, those are extreme conditions. But was he brave? Oh, you bet. Was he courageous? He demonstrated it. Was he worried about it? We know he was. He prayed for strength to the Father himself. He knew what had to happen, but he didn't shirk from his responsibility. He knew there was he and he alone that needed to do what needed to be done. And brothers and sisters, all of us, every one of us, have the same obligation, responsibility. God has put it on each and every one of us to do his work and to serve him, and not to shirk from your responsibilities, but to be brave, be courageous, lean forward, and overcome your fears, and do what pleases God and what needs to be done. One step forward. Keep going. So what are you afraid of? We're talking about the kind of fear that scares you, shakes your confidence, hinders your abilities. for example, did this scare you? Doing taxes? Okay, how about snakes? How about jumping out of planes? How about spiders? Fire? Bugs? Blood? Public speaking? Are you afraid of the devil? God has put into each of us a healthy amount of fear to be used automatically at times. Some say it's a natural reflex. Like when you're reaching into a bush and suddenly you hear the rattle that comes from a rattlesnake. The adrenaline starts to pump. Your heart starts racing. Your reflexes are quicker than ninja speed. And you withdraw your hand. Done by reflex. All without you consciously thinking about it. How about that? We know God has built that into us. But what if it wasn't reflex? The scenario may play out like this. Oh, I think that's a rattle noise. What is a rattle noise? Let me process. Is that a toy rattle? Would it be in the bush? Who would be in the bush shaking the rattle? Well, the bush is too small for a child to be in the bush. So maybe it's a rattle from a rattlesnake. Now that I figured that out, okay, you're dead. You're dead by now, or at least you've been bitten several times by the snake. If you had to think about it, aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? That God put that reflex into us so that we would automatically, naturally withdraw our hand from danger. And let's consider that the word fearfully is meant as a reverent respect for the one who created us, our God and Father, and we say thank you. Another example of a natural or healthy fear is when an explosion happens suddenly and you jump involuntarily. For example, when I was in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, we were in the desert deep in enemy territory. And you may recall that Saddam Hussein had an arsenal of Scud missiles. Well, on this particular bright day, I was talking to a female soldier who was about arm's length away. When all of a sudden in the sky near us, we could hear the explosion overhead. The early warning system didn't see this particular missile, and the warning was not sounded. Then boom! Then in the next instant, the soldier had jumped into my arms. What just happened here? Her action was quick and didn't take time to process or think it through. Though a soldier should expect such things, especially on the battlefield, when you have no warning, but when you let your guard down and when you're not prepared, but she just did what a lot of humans might do. Jump into safety. There's no doubt there's a lot of phobias out there. Some have merit, but others are on the lines of superstition. Like stepping on a crack, you'll break your mother's back. You remember that old thing when you were a kid? Walking under a ladder. The black cat. We've heard lots of them. Unfortunately, some people believe in those things to the point that it changes their lives. One would drive their car into a ditch rather than hit a black cat. not because it's one of God's creatures that should be saved if it could, but rather the thoughts might be, I've got to avoid that cat to avoid 7 years of bad luck. And of course, they don't even consider that it may take 7 years to pay for a different car and the possible damage done to other property, let alone any injuries that they may have sustained that may have put them in the hospital. So while they're lying there in their body casts, thinking to themselves, glad I missed that cat. And now I won't have any bad luck. You're in a body cast, in a hospital, hospital bills, needing a car. You have some property damage you have to pay for. Hello, let's get real. So you can see how unwarranted fears about anything can and do cause much havoc and loss in our lives. Needless suffering, robbing us of our joy, keeping us from living a purposeful life, from being an effective Christian, keeping us laid up from being in His service. It can keep you from doing things that you are perfectly capable of doing, like being a Christian that pleases God, our Creator. And what is just one of those unwarranted fears that can make us ineffective for the Lord? It's an unhealthy regard for the devil. Do you treat him like one may do for a black cat? Oh, there's a cat on the porch. I can't get out and go to work because it's in the way. Silly, isn't it? Oh, the devil might be outside that door, so I can't get out and do the work that God has for me to do. How sad, isn't it? And I'm sure that you've heard the saying, the devil made me do it. Yes, we need to regard that he exists, but not to the point where it becomes unhealthy, unwarranted. When we think more of him than of God, you're preoccupied with the fear of the devil. Well, that's unhealthy. That's unchristian. When we read the scripture and understand what's in the book of life that's there for us, we will be better prepared to handle the devil's schemes. Let's read but a few words of scripture that tells us about the devil, which will give us a better insight on his limited capabilities. Revelation 12:7-12. I'll be reading the New International Version. And there was a great war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Earlier today in Bible class, we've been told that of course, Satan's working, and we know that he's been hurled down and that he's here, and that he's been gradually turning down the light till it's dark. Well, brothers and sisters, when you start bumping into things, the light should come on, that you need to return to the light. Return to the light. Don't choose to stay in the darkness. Darkness has no power. It exists, but it has no power. Light is a power source. It takes energy to create that light. Just look at the sun. It's been burning brightly for a long time because God made it that way. It's a light. But again, let's understand verse 8 up there from Revelation 12. But he was not strong enough. They're referring to the devil. It may need to be reiterated. He was not strong enough to overcome. Yes, the devil has been cast down. And we must acknowledge that he was cast down. And he's still on earth. But the only way that could have happened, the fact that he was thrown down, is a fact and a truth that there is someone greater than him. And we know that is God himself. Let us not give Satan any credence that he is greater than the power of God or his Son or Savior. We know God created everything. Everything. One of the angels of God disobeyed him. He chose to do that. Him and his angels chose to do that. Just like us, we get a choice of what we can or want to do. Satan chose to disobey, and therefore he received his due punishment. God did not create the devil. The devil made himself. Let's understand that. Just like sinners. If we choose to stay within the sin and be disobedient to God, what are we? We're lost. Our choice. Does God want us to be lost? No. The gift is there for us to take. But just like that strawberry cake, what do you got to do? You got to get involved. You got to read it, do it, get it done. Same for us as Christians. It's up to us. Everything that has breathed and acknowledges God has the choice. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Where it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing that same kind of sufferings. It's kind of like if she can do it, I can do it. You have that example. You have that encouragement. You have that brother and sister who has overcome. But we also know that in scriptures, Christ overcame. He did it. We can do it. All things are possible. All things are possible. And again, it's worth repeating. All things are possible through Him. Don't let fear take that away from you. In James 4 and verse 7, we learn the more truth. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, don't invite him into your life. Don't hang out with the devil's agents. Don't have a defeatist attitude. The devil is not everywhere all at once. He does not have that power. Unless you give it to him. Do you know that the lions roaming in Africa being everywhere all at once? No. There's a lot of them. But they're not everywhere all at once. Hope you get the point. Again, let's notice the bravery and courage of those who love God so much that they did not love their lives as much as to shrink from death. That's in the latter part of verse 11. They love God more. That's in Romans 7, verse 11, that we're referring to. Where their bravery is to be admired. They love God more. They lived and loved to please God, even if it meant losing their lives. And for today, where are those kind of Christians? We have far too many that turn from God for lesser things. Like, for example, the sermons are too long. The biblical truth hurts my feelings. The building is too cold. The carpet is the wrong color. How is any of that worth losing your life over? Losing your life because you think more of other things than you do of God. And by the way, it's written in John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. The words spoken by Jesus, our Savior. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Isn't that what we should all want? The truth? The truth, because it sets us free. It's what we need. It's what gives everlasting life. That's the good stuff. It is what we should want, no matter how hurtful it may be to us. It is good for us. Imagine if we were to take a moment and to go back. I'm sure a lot of us have gone through some surgeries in their lives. And in that surgery, it was painful. Painful. The recovery was painful. All of it painful. Maybe even the physical therapy was even more so than the injury, but it was painful. But necessary. We all understand that. Anything that's worth doing may entail some difficult times. But if you receive the benefit of that successful of God's blessings for successful surgery and the therapy, and you're healed, and we say, "Thank you, Lord." And in our lives, the same way. If we acknowledge Him and understand that His truth will set us free, no matter how hurtful the truth may be, it is still good for us. Good for us. Let us be reminded that God created everything, even the angels in heaven, as it is written in Colossians 1 and verse 15 through 17, where it states, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things. And that's the truth. We were created for Him, not the other way around. It is written that He is above all things. But is He first in your life? Is He first? What do you place before Him? Again, this is the truth. And if it's hurtful, just know the truth is there to set you free. But listen, what do you place before Him? Is it family? Friends? The devil? Superstitions? Hobbies? Work? What is more important than the God who created you? Who gave you life? Who knows the numbers of your hairs? He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart matters. He knows what you hold in here that matters. Is there room for Him? Or is it just a small space? Does He occupy the whole thing? Or nothing? He gave us life. What does He should get? Everything from us. Everything. But let's find comfort in God's Word and read James 5:19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sin. So you find yourselves uncomfortable because the truth has revealed the sin in you. The Scriptures are there to let you know your error, just as the Scriptures give you the remedy to come and make it right with God. By God's grace, we are more than conquerors, for it is written in Romans 8:28-33. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will we not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who can be against us? The latter part of verse 31. You remember Psalm 23? I'll say a few words. Maybe it'll come to mind. Psalm 23 from David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, our God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Words of comfort. Our God is with us. If you want to be with him, if you look to his word, to his kindness, to his graciousness, he will give us all that we need to overcome our fears, our superstitions, our weaknesses. There are two unchangeable things about God if you have not realized it already. There are many things about God, mind you. Time would not allow us to go through all of them. But these two things, I think, would help us overcome our fears, our inadequacies, our superstitions. There is no one greater than God. No one. Even if you make believe someone is, they're not. If your fears become greater in your mind than God, they're still not greater. God is greater. No one greater than God, and God cannot lie. That's truth. That is what you can gain strength from, encouragement from. Submit yourself then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the devil will flee. Did you hear that? He will flee. You've heard the phrase, "Get behind me, Satan." Or maybe, "Not today, Satan." Use whatever you need, prayer, scripture, brothers and sisters in Christ, but don't let him or anyone or anything get in your way of serving God. And finally, brothers, in Philippians 4, verse 8, again, some words to encourage you. This is the good stuff to dwell on, to contemplate. Just one of many. But again, it's one verse. And maybe it can help stick with you if you want to put it in there. Remember, these are love letters from God. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Fill yourselves with Scripture, the good things. And brother, something we could all do, and we hopefully are doing it quite often. I would encourage you to do it. Pray for the Lord's church. this one here, worldwide. For we have the honored responsibility of bringing his message to the lost. Honored responsibility. All of us. And but you just have to turn on the TV for maybe all of 5 minutes, and you know how bad off the world is. And a lot of us do because they do not serve God. So let your light so shine before men that they will see God being reflected in your life. And don't let superstitions, unhealthy fears, or even yourself get in the way of doing God's purpose. The Lord's invitation is available for anyone and everyone. We must hear his word, believe his word, confess our sins, confess him as our Savior, be baptized, and then live for him. Live for him. The invitation is open for all. Let's stand together and sing.